This frequency is in use. Stand by for the speech to open the Remembrance Day contest. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the speech to open the Remembrance Day contest. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the speech to open the Remembrance Day contest. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the speech to open the Remembrance Day contest. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the speech to open the Remembrance Day contest. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the speech to open the Remembrance Day contest. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the speech to open the Remembrance Day contest. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the speech to open the Remembrance Day contest. This frequency is in use. Stand by for the speech to open the Remembrance Day contest.
Welcome in 2017 to the Remembrance Day contest, Australia's most significant annual amateur radio competition. I'm Peter Ellis, VK1PE, formerly a full-time officer in the Navy, now a reservist. Each year we pause to consider the roles that amateurs play in World War II, and we honour the passing of the brave servicemen who were killed during the hostilities. However, the whole idea of the contest is to have fun. Indeed, for the next 24 hours, the bands will be at their busiest for the whole year, so please be involved. The rules for this weekend's contest were published in the WIA magazine, Amateur Radio, and are available on the website at www.wia.org.au. There is no obligation to participate, but even with 30 minutes on air, your involvement will make a difference, particularly when you submit your log. It really doesn't matter if this year is your first RD or you've done many. History says that you'll enjoy the experience. This contest is for us amateurs, just as it has been every year since the late 1940s. We conduct the RD contest for 24 hours on the weekend closest to the day called VP Day, Victory in the Pacific Day. This day formally marked the end of World War II. So each year in the Remembrance Day contest, we spend a little while in quiet contemplation prior to the 0300 Zulu start, while we remember those people who didn't make it back, but whose efforts helped to save our nation. Then, after 0300 Zulu, we celebrate in a joyous way by competing together for up to 24 hours in a state versus state race to win the most on-air contacts. This year we'll hear from the president of the WIA, Justin Giles Clark, VK7TW, and have a reading of the names of amateur radio operators known to have been killed during World War II. Then, this year, we'll hear from Brigadier Tim Bayliss, the program manager for both the US Force Posture Initiatives and the Australia-Singapore Military Training Initiative.
I'm Justin, VK7 Tango Whiskey, the president of the Wireless Institute of Australia. World War II saw the need for skilled radio people to operate and maintain defence radio equipment. Amateurs filled this need and many helped in the creation of a communications infrastructure for the Australian Defence Forces. One such person was signalman Max Lovelace, VK7ML Silent Key. He was an amateur before World War II and became involved as a signals operator with Sparrow Force on Dutch Timor with the AIF. Fighting as guerrillas against overwhelming odds, deficient in supplies and out of touch with Australia, it was imperative for the small force to re-establish communications with the mainland. Members of the 2nd Australian Independent Company, Fortress Signals Section, and member of the 8th Division Signals pooled their resources to build a set capable of raising Darwin. After many trials and much revision, a radio was devised from pieces of other sets and from parts scrounged among the troops or stolen from the enemy, and on the 20th of April 1942, Darwin was made aware that the Australians in Timor were alive and well. The bulk of the work was undertaken by signallers Max Lovelace and Keith Richards, assisted by Jack Sargent and John Donovan. The set was affectionately named Winnie the War Winner after Winston Churchill, and after several days of answering some personal questions, like, what's the Christian name of Jack Sargent's wife, the signaller at the Timor end was Jack Sargent, and he sent back the message Kathleen, which established the bona fides of the original message. And Darwin was convinced of the authenticity of the signals, and was able to arrange much-needed supplies to be delivered to the isolated troops. Fortunately, the original Winnie the War Winner was brought back to Australia and can be seen in the Australian War Memorial in Canberra, and a replica can also be seen in the Anglesey Barracks Military Museum in Hobart. A wonderful story of ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
We pay tribute to these members of the Wireless Institute of Australia who paid the supreme sacrifice. Royal Australian Navy, J.E. Mann, VK3IE, A.H.G. Ripon, VK6GR. Australian Military Forces, C.D. Roberts, VK2JV, J.D. Morris, VK3DQ, J. McCandlish, VK3HN, S.W. Jones, VK3SF, D.A. Laws, VK4DR, J.G. Phillips, VK5BW, K.S. Anderson, VK6KS. Royal Australian Air Force, F.W.S. Eastern, VK2BQ, V.J.E. Jarvis, VK2VJ, W. Abbott, VK2YK, G.C. Curl, VK2AJB, T. Stevens, VK3GO, M.D. Orr, VK3OR, J.F. Colthrop, VK3PL, J.A. Burridge, VK3UW, J.E. Snadden, VK3VE, F.J. Starr, VK4FS, R. Allen, VK4PR, C.A. Ives, VK5AF, B. James, VK5BL, J. E. Goddard, VK6JG, P. P. Patterson, VK6PP, and Merchant Marine, N. E. Gunther, VK3NG, and R. P. Veal, VK3PV. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. And the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
Now to our official speaker. Brigadier Tim Bayliss is the Program Manager for both the US Force Posture Initiatives and the Australia-Singapore Military Training Initiative. For the US Force Posture Initiative, he's responsible for the control and coordination of activities associated with the Australian component of the US rebalance to the Asia-Pacific. For the Australia-Singapore Military Training Initiative, he's responsible for the coordination of activities related to access and joint development of training activities, areas and facilities in Australia which will enhance the Singapore military training. The programs will require investment in additional defence facilities in the Northern Territory and Queensland. Brigadier Bayliss graduated from the Centre for Defence and Strategic Studies in 2015. In 2014, he was seconded to the Force Structure Review as part of the 2016 Defence White Paper. Prior to this, he was the Director of Plans Army, and in this role he was responsible for the strategic planning of Army's force modernisation under Plan Beersheba. His career spans nearly 30 years with postings in career management, force modernisation, combat engineering, training and operational deployments. He has served on exchange with the British Army, both on operations and in training. His operational experience includes deployment to Bosnia, Afghanistan and short tours to Kenya, Iraq, Cyprus and Lebanon. For his services to Army in the fields of career management and force modernisation, he was made a member of the Order of Australia, that's AM, in 2015. Aside from his initial undergraduate degree, he holds master level qualifications in history, management, politics, and public policy. So, Brigadier Tim Bayliss, on behalf of the Wireless Institute of Australia and amateur radio operators around the nation and elsewhere, thank you, and we ask you to deliver the opening address.
Last year, Air Commodore Mike Walkington, a professional communicating engineer, made this speech to you, and I am truly honoured to be speaking to you today a bit by a recorded message. I am the Program Manager for the United States Force Posture Initiative and the Australian Singapore Military Training Initiative. So what does that mean? I'm responsible for ensuring that these two important initiatives are implemented. Both programs are in the value of billions of dollars of investment inside Australia. And both will greatly benefit our Australian Defence Force personnel, the United States Force Posture Initiative through greater training opportunities with our important ally, which will increase our interoperability with the United States. The Australian-Singapore Military Training Initiative, through enhancement and improvement of some of our most important training areas in central and northern Queensland, will benefit the ADF in insignificant manners. Today, however, I will concentrate on our United States Force Posture Initiative. As you would all know, in May this year, we commemorated the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Coral Sea. At the time, many people in Australia believed the Battle of the Coral Sea saved Australia from invasion. In the least, it was a major turning point in the war in the Pacific, reducing Japan's fighting powers of the battles that were to come afterwards. It was also the start of a military friendship with our two allied countries, the United States and Australia, that still exist today. United States Force Posture Initiative are an extension of our alliance with the United States. The initiatives demonstrate our commitment to a high level of interoperability, capability and cooperation. The initiatives are undertaken in northern Australia, with a majority of it occurring in the vicinity of Darwin and the Northern Territory. And there are two key elements of this initiative. The first of them is the United States Marine Corps rotations in Darwin during the dry season. We refer these deployments to as the Marine Rotational Force Darwin. This year's rotation consists of 1,250 Marines and a mix of complex mix of vehicles and aircraft. The second part of the initiatives is the enhanced air cooperation, which has significant involvement of United States aircraft into Australia, and the most significant of those were early this year in March, where we had a squadron of F-22 Raptors visiting RAF Base Tyndall in the Northern Territory. The purposes of these initiatives are to strengthen the Australian and United States alliance, promote regional security and stability in the Indo-Pacific, enhance interoperability, cooperation and capability between Australia and the United States, and importantly, it increases our readiness and capacity to respond to humanitarian crises and natural disasters in our region. The Remembrance Day contest honours the Australian radio operators who served their country with distinction during World War II, but who failed to return home afterwards. Of course, Australian forces played a key role in the Pacific War from 1942 until the end of hostilities and made a significant contribution with much of the fighting in the Southwest Pacific. Appropriately, this contest is held on the weekend nearest the 15th of August, Victory Day in the Pacific. This year, this contest falls on the 12th and 13th of August, but let's not forget that it was not until the 21st of August 1945 that the Japanese surrendered on the island of Ambon in the Maku Islands, which is now Indonesia. If we can now just bring our thoughts to the present, we think of operational deployments of Australian men and women in Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, Egypt, Israel and Lebanon, and indeed in the Southwest Pacific. Our RAF aircraft are patrolling the oceans and skies and providing strategic and regional airlift. The Navy patrols the Australian coastline and has ships deployed to the Middle East. Recently, Exercise Talisman Sabre has been conducted around Shoalwater Bay training area. It is a major Australian and United States military training exercise focused on the planning and conduct of mid-intensity, high-end warfighting. This will be the seventh time the exercise has been conducted and has involved over 30,000 Australian and US defence personnel. To our sorrow, the Marines lost an Osprey aircraft while on exercise on Talisman Sabre with the loss of three lives. And our condolences go to the Marine Corps, but also to their family and friends. Happily, since the last Remembrance Day contest, no Australian personnel have been killed while serving on deployment. As this contest begins, let's also not forget that in the next week is Vietnam Veterans Day, and I'll be giving a speech to commemorate this important occasion at Harvey Bay for the Vietnam Veterans Association. I am the son of a Vietnam veteran, and I'm a proud son for my father's service. The numbers of World War II service personnel are thinning, but we honour them today, as our country has done over the last 70 years. Of course, we will remember this year as being the 100th anniversary of our major battles of World War I. Radio amateurs of Australia, New Zealand and Papua New Guinea On this weekend, nearest the anniversary of Victory in the Pacific Day, it is my great pleasure to formally declare the Remembrance Day contest for 2017 open.